Well, I'm just excited to be sharing this message with you today. Now, it's a bit of a corny title, so you will forgive me, but it says it all. And the title of my message is, You're the Reason for the Season. They say that Jesus is the reason for the season, but actually you're the reason for the season. Jesus Christ came to earth for you, and you're the reason for this season. And, I just realized something the other day, and that's once December hits, everything revolves around Christmas. Have you realized? We often talk about counting down the days, don't we? We say things like, I can't believe it's only 2 months to Christmas. We don't say, I can't believe it's only 2 months to New Year's Eve. Well, everything revolves around Christmas, and then we begin counting down the days once December comes, and we start thinking, oh my gosh, it's only a week to go. We've got to wrap those presents, or we've got to start doing their Christmas baking or whatever it is. And I believe this is because it's about the birth of Jesus Christ. It was the most definitive act in history. And since then, our calendar reflects this. And I'm not sure about you, but I just find that December seems to fly by the quickest. But most Christians understand that the reason we celebrate Christmas is to remember Christ's birth. And this morning we're going to learn about the purpose of Christmas. And the title of my message, as I said, is You're the Reason for the Season. And most of us have heard people's views on who they believe God to be. We've heard statements such as, I like to think of God as. In Fremantle, that could be anything from a star, the universe, an aura, to creation, something in creation. Or it could be, you may have grown up with a concept of God as a very mean man. Let me show you an illustration that we have all come to understand of who some people think God could be. Oh. Some of us have that concept of who God is, that there's someone up there pulling all these chains, and that's, you know, we're left down here to the whim of a whimsical God or a cruel God. Other people think that God can sometimes be a kind and sugar daddy kind of God, and that we should be able to send requests to God and never have consequences to actions, or everything should just be about love. But love doesn't have consequences. That's the God that they want. And so our world is growing into this, has this ideal of who God is, but often we don't know really who God is. And the only way we can do that is by going and finding out who God is through His Word. And a lot of us, what we've done over the years is we want a God to support our biases, don't we? We want a God without consequences, or we want a God of love without any other consequences to actions, or we want a God that just gives us everything that we want. And so the Bible tells us that God has made us in His image, but too often we're trying to make Him into our image of what we want God to be. And just because we believe God to be a certain way doesn't make it true. The Princeton sociologist Wade Roof identified that over 95% of Americans believe in God, but for many of them, their idea or their image of God is different to what the Bible actually says. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to change our misconceptions about who God is. And so my first point today is God sent Jesus to earth to erase those misconceptions. You see, Jesus came to earth to show us what God was really like. And how did Jesus correct those misconceptions about God? Well, firstly, He did two things. He taught truth and He lived an example of that truth. He showed us very clearly how to live. In John 18, verses 37, Pilate asked Him, before Jesus was crucified and Jesus was on trial, and he said, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered and said, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Also, the scripture in John 8, verses 32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Free from what? What has Jesus come to set us free from? Ourselves, mainly. Our failure, our regret, the past, expectations of others. Kylie, do you think you could close that door as you go? It's just a bit distracting watching the traffic. See, what truth does is it teaches us how to live in the present and the future. You see, Jesus is God with skin on Him. And so we can learn things about God without having to look at Jesus. God has shown us through nature that He's creative, He's organized. We can see that God is powerful, He's systematic, He loves variety, all different types of people and cultures and races, flowers, plants, animals. No two human beings are the same. But there are some things we can only learn from Jesus. If Jesus hadn't come to earth, we wouldn't know that He loved us. We can't learn that from creation. Maybe we could stretch it to say, well, God's a good provider through creation, so He loves us. But you see, Jesus shattered the myth that God doesn't care. Bette Midler, in my day, used to sing a song that God is watching us from a distance. Anyone remember that one? Well, it's not true. He's not watching you from a distance. God became one of us, and that's what we call the incarnation. God is right here with us, not far off, not absent, not distracted, not abstract. And Jesus shattered the myth that He's uncaring and unconcerned. God notices everything, even down, the Bible says, to the number of hairs you have on your head. Or for some people, not many, the number of hairs you don't have on your head. See, Jesus shattered the myth that God is unmerciful, like we saw in The Wizard of Oz, that concept that He's a hard God, that you've got to come back tomorrow, that don't ask me, that He's unpleasable, that He's distant, that He's demanding, that He's distracting, nor that He's an inanimate object or something out there in the universe. No, He was a person in human form. He was prepared to be born into this world and die for our sins, and that is Jesus. We know God is loving because of that act. We know that He's forgiving, and we know He has a purpose for our life. In Luke 2, verses 32, Jesus is quoted as saying that Jesus is the light to reveal God to the nations. He's the light. And what does light do? It sees things the way that they really are. I don't know about you, but in the night, you know, I tripped over and I've bruised my toe. Does anyone ever do things like that in the middle of the night? You just, you know, or you look and you can't see things clearly. I was out in our garage this morning. I've been painting my door blue. It wasn't the colour I planned it to be. Ever had that? So then I said to Nigel, well, it's going to be a happy door, a happy blue. But it's not, by the time Andrea finished yesterday, it was an unhappy door and an unhappy Andrea. So in the early hours of this morning, I decided that I'd touch up some things, but I went out to the garage and the light in there is bad and I'm fumbling around. See, Jesus is the light of the world. And a lot of our problems are the result of because we can't see clearly. Have you ever said, I just can't see how this is going to work out? We've all said that, haven't we? We use that terminology, I can't see how it's going to turn out. And that's because you're in the dark and essentially we need the light of Jesus Christ to shine on us. So if you want to get to know God, not know about God, you've got to know Jesus. And in John 14, verse 9, it says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You just need to take a long look at Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came to shine a light on the truth. Secondly, he came to express the love of God. One of the most famous verses in the Bible in John 3:16, most of us would have learnt it in Sunday school. It was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in us would not perish but have everlasting life. You see, the thing is that Jesus was the first Christmas gift, and that's why we exchange gifts today. I heard an interesting statement this week. Someone said, you can give a gift without love. Think about work. You give gifts, don't you? You don't necessarily love that person, but you can't love without giving. You can't love without giving. You see, Jesus, Father God, loved the world that he had to give. An act of love is giving. If you're a parent here today, you get that. You will go without because you love. You will sacrifice for your children because you love. As a Christian, we're called to do that. We're called to lay down our life for others. It's an act of love. And so this is what God did through Jesus Christ. And Jesus was that first Christmas gift. And that cliche that he's the reason for the season, well, it's true, but it's also true to say that you're the reason for the season. The only reason we have Christmas is that Jesus came for your benefit. And if you didn't need Jesus, he wouldn't have made the effort to come. I'll say that again. If you didn't need Jesus, he wouldn't have made the effort. What sane person would knowingly come to this earth knowing they would have to die? Jesus wouldn't have done it if we had not created such a mess. And all of us have different messes in our lives. We can often spend so much time looking for the perfect gift, but the best gift has always been Jesus. He didn't send someone else, he came. I love 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only Son into the world so that we may have eternal life through him. This is real love, that God sent his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. You know, there's also a lot of misconceptions out there about love. Often it's lust, what makes us feel good. But love is sacrificial. It's about giving to another person. In Ephesians 3, verses 18 to 19, the Apostle Paul writes, may you be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep and how high God's love really is. You see, God's love is long enough to last forever. It actually outlasts human love. Human love wears out. That's why we have divorce. But God will love you forever. God will never love you any more or any less than what he does now. Doesn't always like you. Doesn't always like what I do. But he'll never stop loving you. God's love is wide. How wide? Wide enough to be everywhere. No place you can be where God's love is not. God's love is all around you, whether you feel it or not. God's love is deep. Deep enough to handle everything, no matter what pain or hurt you are going through. His love is deeper than any pit you're in right now. Betsy Ten Boom, who was dying in the Auschwitz concentration camp during World War II, said, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." I think she may have known. How high is God's love? It's high enough to overlook your mistakes and mine. All the garbage that we've collected in 2017, the bitterness, the anger, regret, bad attitudes, mistakes, disappointments, all those things that we have collected in 2017, I want to say today, don't carry it into 2018 because God's love is higher than that. You know, you can begin a new year and a new life, not a new leaf. Don't turn over a new leaf. Have a new life. It's a fresh start. We're forgiven. Christmas is worthless to you unless you accept that God's love is deep, high, wide and long. So it's not just about showing what God is like, which is light. It's not about just love. You know, you matter to God. No man or woman will ever love you more than Jesus Christ. But thirdly, Jesus came to enable a relationship with God. You see, God didn't come to give us religion. We created that. That's our attempt to get close to God. God didn't create religion. He came to create relationship. He said, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." And God's unchanging plan in Ephesians 1:5 was always been to adopt us into his family. It's always been to have a relationship with him. God wanted a family and he wanted you. He wanted you in his family. And every person is loved by God, but not everyone is in his family. You have to choose to be in his family. But the good news is that we're not accidents. God wants a relationship with us here, not a religion. He calls us friend. This life on here is preparation for eternity. It's the dress rehearsal. Life is preparation for that eternity, and God wants you to know him from now until heaven. You know, sometimes we get this wrong. We think our life is in two stages. We think that it's God and we know God here, and then we go to heaven, and it's going to be a different relationship. I want to say, if you don't know God here, you're not going to go well in heaven. It's the continuation of a relationship. It doesn't stop. This is the one, death doesn't stop for Christians. We actually just go through. It's a bit like when we get born. We don't realize one day that we're out of mum's tummy until we get cold. We start crying like baby Jesus. Well, that's what death will be like. We will close our eyes here and our soul will go, but we'll next be in heaven. It won't be this formal introduction with Jesus. Jesus won't be getting up there going, "Oh, hello, Charlie. Oh, you're Charlie Ricardo." No, it won't be. It'll be the continuation of the relationship here. If your relationship with God is weak here, this is a continuation. Jesus, it's a love story. It's a family. You know, I can't wait to see my daughter. She's coming home. It's been a year since she's been back in Perth. I cannot wait to see my daughter. I don't know how much I'm going to embarrass her at the airport. I haven't thought quite how I'll do that. But, you know, that's a mother's prerogative. Family. My daughter. Seriously. I don't think I'm going to go up to Sarah at the airport. She's only been gone a year. I think I could go up and go, "Oh, hello, Sarah. I'm your mother. Nice to meet you. How are you?" If you know me and my personality, I'll probably have some goofy sign and it'll be like, "Oh, Sarah," the whole of the airport is going to know. My daughter is home. What do you think Jesus is going to do? And he's got a few million angels up there. he is going to be like, she's here. He's here. Eternity's been waiting for you. Come on, I've got this great house for you. Let me show you. Oh, by the way, this is where you get to hang out. Oh, you want to see the university in heaven? Bremer, it's not stopping. We're going to learn. I tell you, I'm going to get that flat screen TV and I'm going to watch creation. I'm going to watch when God said, I'm starting there. There's going to be ongoing movies the whole way through, isn't there? Who wants to see David kill Goliath? Oh, maybe I don't want to watch those gory ones, but I'll go to the PG sessions. Noah in the ark. You know what? That's what it's going to be like because God came to earth. God so loved. It's just the beginning of history to the end of history. It's the same story. It's a love story. It's not a Wizard of Oz sitting up there beating and puffing and huffing. It's a love story. In this relationship, God always takes the first step. This is the only religion, if you like, for want of a better word. This is the only religion where you don't do anything. In every other religion, you must do things. No, no. In this Christianity, he chose you. He picked you. You have to choose God. Romans 5:11. So now we can rejoice. Oh, it's an old-fashioned word. What's a modern word? It's like, come on. It's like partay. We can get excited. He said turn up. So now we can turn up in our wonderful relationship with God. Now we can get excited about our wonderful relationship with God. You see, you can have the first 2 points, but you can miss the last one. You can have a correct view of God. You can even understand that God loves you, but you can miss having a relationship. I know a lot of people out there that say, oh, well, I'm a believer. I go, where are you? If you're a believer, you want to be in church. Because you just go, oh, my gosh, I get to worship my Lord for an hour and a half. You know, people often say to me, there should be, you know, we should make this condition, that condition. I go, don't bother about it. That's the Old Testament. If I tell you, you have to be in church, I ain't going to get you here. But I'm in church because I want to be in church because my relationship with God is like, you're magnificent, God. You got me through another week. And so that's why, because it's all about a relationship. You know, I get the pleasure. Is Josh here this morning? I get the, we've got a young couple in our church, Josh and Bree. And I get the pleasure, I won't be here on New Year's Eve morning. Pastor Nigel's, he'll be travelling down to the wedding. But I get the pleasure of marrying this young couple on New Year's Eve in a few weeks' time. You know, one of the things they're going to say as a part of their vows is, I do. I do. I said that 30 years ago, I do. Well, I don't know about you, but you don't have to understand it all right now, but you get to spend the rest of your life figuring out what I do meant. Anyone else who's been married for a while? Sandy, come on, help me out here. It's like, oh, yes, yes, oh, yes, I do. But, you know, the in sickness and in health, till death do us part, richer for poorer. That gets worked out over the next 30 years. The vows get worked out. You know, it's actually the same thing with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, you can say, I choose you, Jesus. You can say, I do. I want that relationship. And you get to spend the rest of your life figuring it out with God. It's all right, he'll help. But that's what it's like. It's taking that first step into his family, saying, I want that family. And then God's going to show you a purpose for your life, your best life. And you know what? It's just like the marriage. He doesn't let go. There is no divorce in God's mind. He stays the journey. He loves you. But what do we have to do? Galatians 3:26 says, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Doesn't say you've got to do this, you've got to do that. You just need to put your trust in Jesus Christ today. And it's not an invitation for good people. People often say, Andrew, I've done so many bad things. I go, me too. I mean, really? It's It's not religious people. Jesus didn't want to know about religious people. The question is, do you want to have a relationship with Christ today? That's the question. Let's pray. Oh God, you came to this earth so you could show us once and for all who you were really like. You blew out those misconceptions that you were cruel, distant, unloving. You came in the form of a child. You came so that you would show us love, the greatest gift of all. You made it very clear that we are the reason for the season. You did it so you could show us the way back to you. You did it so that we could be 100% sure of your absolute love and also your commitment to us by offering family to us. God, we don't get to choose our earthly family, but we get to choose you. And I choose you. I choose you, Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning. We could just keep our eyes closed for just another moment. I want to give you an opportunity right now to say, Andrea, I want to choose Jesus. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to put up your hand. And that's just an acknowledgement that you're going, yeah, I mean this. Maybe today you've once known God, you still believe in God, but the relationship's not there. You know it's not. You know that he's very distant. You know that if you died, you would know the reception that you would get. You would know if Jesus would be throwing that party for you because you know that your relationship's quite stifled. I don't know why that's dropped off in your world, but I want to say today, it's a bit like renewing our wedding vows. We can do it over and over and over again. We can say, I do, Jesus. I'd love everyone right now to pray a prayer with me. And at the end of that prayer, if that's the first time that you've said it and just really mean it, or you need to come back to Christ, I'd like you to raise your hand then when I ask. Would you mind doing that with me, church? You know, Jesus is the reason for the season. Let's put him front and center right now. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I accept what you have done for me. Coming to this earth and then dying on the cross so that I could come back into relationship with you. Today I choose you. I know that you've chosen me first, but I accept what you've done and I want you in my life. Be Lord of my life. I accept everything you have for me, your purposes, your plans, that your Bible says are for good. Today I receive you into my heart and my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. If you just keep your eyes closed, raise your hand for me right now if you've said that for the very first time. You say, Andrea, that's me. Just give it a moment. Someone over there. Thank you, sweetheart. I see your hand. Would you raise your hand for me right now if you say, Andrea, I've been away from God, but I'm serious today about recommitting my life. If that was you and you prayed that prayer, raise your hand for me right now so I can see it as well. Thank you, God. Just looking across. Thank you, God. Just giving it one more moment. I just want to give a third invitation that I didn't do. If you're not sure if you got to heaven, or that your even God would accept you into heaven, would you raise your hand and I'll pray with you later? Thank you, sweetheart. Is there anyone else here today that says, that's me, I'm scared. If I died, yes, sweetheart, I see your hand. Yeah, you can put it down again. I want you to be absolutely sure that when you die, the party's starting. Jesus is going to welcome you with open arms. Is there anyone else as I just close our service right now? Thank you, God, Jesus. You're magnificent. Thank you, God. Would you just stand for me? And we're going to finish with a song. And I just want to invite, sweetie, would you come down? And anyone else that would like me to pray with you? I don't want to embarrass you, but I don't want you walking out the same. Just come forward and I'm going to pray with you. And I'm just going to ask the team to take us.